there's a narrative that has been perpetuated that creates a psychological gap. So even if you have some kind of opportunity or you have some kind of resources or even if you have some good examples, that psychological gap is a part of the opportunity gap in my mind.
In a small church room in downtown Boulder, six community members sit together in a circle and talk. There are snacks on the table in the middle, the hum of a fan comes in and out, and the rumble of cars stays constant outside the window. They're all participating in what is called the living room conversation. Started in Berkeley in 2010, the organization aims to use conversation to build relationships and understanding.
But, I mean, I was raised, there is no such thing as a free lunch, and if you want money, you work. And if you want to get ahead, you got to put your head down and grind. And I'm grateful for that lesson.
Mary Gaylord is the program development partner for Living Room Conversations and recently brought the program to Boulder. She says she hopes these conversations can help people not only recognize different points of view, but also realize the value of having different perspectives in our community.
At its core, it's based on the idea that people with different points of view can have a conversation in a civil and friendly and constructive way. And there's a lot of tendencies in our culture to not do that anymore. And so the idea is that we are going to be better at solving our problems collectively in our communities if we see all sides of an issue and if we are able to hear another side of an issue and not just keep progressing our own point of view.
Each conversation has a topic and a series of ground rules to help hold the space. They include rules like be curious, show respect, and appreciate differences. There's also a loose structure for the conversation. After sharing why they came to the conversation, participants move into discussing the chosen topic. Tonight, that topic is the opportunity gap.
And that can be applied in all sorts of situations, like when a person is poor, homeless, if it's a psychological issue, doesn't matter, there's some kind of gap there, and like, how do we as a society kind of encounter that and then make a positive contribution for the greater good? That's how I look at it.
Like, what would optimizing the purported problem with the opportunity gap look like?
Right.
The conversation flows from poverty to race to education to homelessness, and participants embody the established rules. They respectfully listen and engage with what each person has to say. Katie Page is a participant in the conversation. She says that despite initial apprehension to some viewpoints, she found connections she didn't anticipate.
I think when a few people started talking, I kind of immediately felt like a little bit offended by what a couple were saying, and I allowed myself to relax and was more open to what they were saying and actually realized that I did agree with them in some ways. But because I had this preconceived notion about them that I wasn't letting myself agree with them. I mean, how silly is that? So I actually found that I have way more common ground with those in the room than I initially thought.
Another participant, who chose not to have his name used, says the emphasis on respect is what makes these conversations valuable.
I think that when you actually have a conversation with people who are treating it with respect, then you are going to get much more to the heart of the matter. It's often the other side is caricatured in what you see in the news media, for example. And so to present ideas in a thoughtful way, this kind of interactive environment is terrific.
So far, there have been half a dozen living room conversations in Boulder, and Mary Gaylord says she plans to host local conversations every month. People are also encouraged to host their own living room conversations in their communities. For KGNU, I'm Julia Caulfield.